May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So a couple months ago, I found the confirmation bulletin from my confirmation. It sort of appeared in a box. I think it was my grandmother's copy because she had underlined my name. And it was a fascinating moment to look at it with the eyes that I have now. It was 1986 at St. Francis Episcopal Church in Palos Verdes. The rite was according to the 1928 Book of Common Prayer in 1986. Yes, that is after 1979. But they used the 1982 hymnal, and there were 6 girls and 6 boys. And what I do remember about the confirmation was that we were all dressed up. The girls wore white dresses. We had white veils. I was very excited about the white veil. And we had been required to memorize the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the 10 Commandments. And one by one, we came in front of the bishop and were told which one of those 3 we had to recite. It was very intimidating. And I was 11. But this was my adult profession of faith. When I looked at that bulletin, I realized how much that had not been the moment for me when I really made my adult profession of faith. But it was a way of acknowledging something substantial. It was a way of acknowledging that I was a part of the church. And it was a valuable part of the church. And at that point in how St. Francis at least encountered its sacramental reality, it meant that I was also admitted to communion. I could finally receive communion at age 11. And so for me, confirmation was something of a transformation from childhood to adulthood, that I was entitled then to all of the responsibilities and benefits of being a person of faith and a member of the church. In our gospel today, Jesus does something that he has been doing since he was a teenager. Jesus goes to his home synagogue in Nazareth, and he goes to the ark in the synagogue, and he takes out the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and then he sits down and begins to teach about it. That is something, as a Jewish man, he would have been doing from the time that he was 13 or so until this moment when he is 30 or so. And yet something is different about the way that Jesus makes his profession of faith this time at age 30 than was probably true when he made his profession of faith at age 13. This time, when Jesus reads from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, he proclaims with Isaiah that he has come to bring good news to the poor, release to those in captivity, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom to those who are oppressed. But then something different happens. He sits down, and instead of expounding on this text and what it means, he simply says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I've heard this passage referred to as Jesus' mission statement. It's Jesus proclaiming at home what his sort of profound statement of faith and what his mission is going to be as the Messiah for the rest of his life and active ministry. And we see that in the Gospels, right? Jesus goes around and he proclaims good news to the poor and release to those in captivity and recovery of sight to the blind and freedom to those who are oppressed. He does it over and over again. And so as Jesus does this, I wonder today for those who are being confirmed, received into the Episcopal Church, and reaffirming their baptismal vows, if there might be a way of asking us, each one of us, if you were going to go into the Ark of the Covenant and pull out a scroll of Scripture and read something from it, something that was critical, that was your mission statement, that was your understanding of what it is you have been called to do and to be. what would it be? What is God, what scripture has God put upon your heart? And for some of you who are here today, it's more like maybe I was when I was confirmed, or Jesus, perhaps, when he became a man and began doing this. You know, I'm sure over those intervening 20 years or so, Jesus has pulled hundreds of texts out of that ark to read and to expound upon and to teach and to discuss. What we pull out at age 13 and what we pull out at age 30 may not be the same, because we develop and we grow as Christians. So what is your mission statement for your faith? You know, what scripture has God put upon your heart? And if there isn't one that comes to mind, that's okay. But maybe that's something to think about in the next few weeks. What is your favorite verse, your favorite story? What is the thing that speaks to your heart and helps you understand how you are a beloved person, a beloved child of God? And confirmation today, or reception, doesn't represent an end. You know, it's not something that you do and then you're done. Though occasionally the Episcopal Church has seen it as graduation from church. You're being confirmed today as sort of a midpoint. If baptism is the beginning, confirmation is this moment where you do claim your identity as a member of the church, as a follower of Jesus. And there are consequences of this moment. As Jesus said, the passage that he said today in Scripture, there were consequences for that moment for Jesus. He proclaimed it, he sat down, he said, "Today the Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," and immediately all spoke well of him. And there's this wonderful moment where all are, "Is this Jesus? Is this the son of Joseph? Oh, we know him, we love him." But within a few short verses, the people in that synagogue who had spoken well of him a few moments ago are trying to throw him off a cliff. Claiming your faith has consequences. And claiming your faith today has consequences for you. And so that's why when we confirm you today, we pray for God to strengthen you. I love the prayer of confirmation. "Strengthen, O Lord, your servant with your Holy Spirit. Empower them for your service and sustain them all the days of their life." Today, we are praying for God to sustain you, not just today, but for all the days of your life. Just as Jesus was sustained, not just in that moment in Nazareth where everyone spoke well of him, but in the moment in Nazareth where they wanted to kill him. Just as Jesus' faith sustains him through all the miracles he does, all the good times, the meal with his disciples, and how his faith sustains him on the cross. Because we know that our faith and the consequences of our faith are that we journey not just to the mountaintop, we journey to the cross, we journey to the empty tomb, and eventually we journey into eternal life. So may the prayers and the vows and your understanding of your call as a follower of Jesus be what sustains you through the end of your days. Amen.